For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Making my way. Hello, hello. Good evening, Valley Bible. How are you guys doing? Can we give it up for the worship team one more time? And can we give it up for all these gentlemen that are out here helping set up all this stuff too? And then also Pastor Hector, because man, those announcements, we're so informed now. Give it up for Pastor Hector. Don't laugh, whoever was laughing over there. Those announcements, man, sometimes we get books that we got to come out here and interrupt your worship to read. And so it's just one of those things. Good evening, everybody that is here. Good evening, those of you that are online. Thank you for joining us, especially braving through the cold and joining us here this evening. For those of you that have little ones, you brought your little ones, you dropped them off. And you were able to join us in worship. And if it was up to me, I would have come out after that third song, after we were just done being in the presence of the Lord and singing, you know, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. And not only is that song a good song to kind of remember who we are, but then it's also good to jump into a song that reminds us of the goodness of God. And when my mind is telling me I'm not good enough, God, you are good enough for me. And that is just a good reassurance. And so if you don't have worship music on at home, I highly recommend it. It'll help you in times that you least expect it. If you don't have it on in the car when you're driving, or at least something that's pointing you towards God, when you least expect it and when you need it the most, when those verses come back or when those choruses hit again or those bridges, they come in and they just help you. I want to read a lyric from a song called Monday Morning Faith. And it says, "What really makes darkness run is when the saints arise and praise in quiet." And I think sometimes we think that what we just got done doing, this loud corporate in public thing, singing to God, that is great. But when we leave here and we praise God through the trials that we're in the middle of or the storms that we're in or when, you know, this idea of Christmas comes and now it's more difficult to celebrate because maybe the loss of a loved one or maybe the finances aren't what you thought it was going to be. When the church can praise God when no one is looking, that's when the devil begins to worry because now it's not convenient and still we put God back on the throne. And so I want to encourage you guys tonight in what we're going to be reading that God is still on the throne regardless of our circumstances, regardless of how many gifts you have for your kids to open up or however many gifts you have for your loved ones to open up. If you just got one, that's good. If you got nothing, but you were able to drive around and look at the Christmas lights, that's something, you know, make the most out of it and love your kids to the best of your ability. Because sometimes, I mean, there was a couple, before I proposed to my wife, I met with a couple, I'll gladly say their names, Anthony and Sonny, and I was just talking to them, trying to get some, like, you know, hey, what's it like being married and all that stuff? And he said, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs, talking with Anthony, he said, but I'll tell you, back when we had no money, some of our best dates were when they just sat in the back of their car eating Taco Bell. Isn't that just like that, when you don't have a whole lot, so you're creative with the way that you show your significant other how much you love them or not necessarily. I'm starting to get to the age now with my kids where now there's a competition of the toys that they have or the things that they have. And back in the day when I was able to just, you know, get them just one little thing and their hearts were content. And, you know, this idea, it constantly grows and I'm very privileged and also kind of figuring out why God wants me to be speaking the Wednesday before Christmas. But it's an honor also to be up here because I know that what God is wanting to say tonight will help you. It's my prayer that it'll help you. It's something that's a good reminder for myself because I've been since I was 19, I started following God to the best of my ability and running after him. And I had grown up in the church, but I was talking to somebody on two Sundays ago, and actually talking to somebody last Sunday, and they were saying, you know, I really wish that we were doing something in person on Sunday, considering that it's Christmas Day. And I said, I understand what you're saying, but I'll never forget when I think I was like 20, and you know, we're all in the church and a lot of men and women that were my age when we were serving God and, you know, running hard after God. When you start to get creative with how you are personally going to worship God, and we all got together and we were like, what if we met at a park? What if we read the Christmas story? And what if we worshiped God where nobody else was? It was just us. And thinking about how we had to get creative, thinking about how early we had to get up to you know, outside of getting alone with our family, but getting up, and I will never forget the impact of that moment. I'll never forget the impact when when I was in the high school ministry, and what we did on Christmas morning is the high school leadership got together. We got each other presents. We hung out Christmas morning at like 5 or 6 in the morning. We spent that time together as leaders and volunteers in this ministry, because if you're involved in youth ministry, it is the worst and best thing all at the same time. And you get involved and you're involved in these kids' lives, but you come together and it's more than just serving, because it's what you want to do to find, if you're like a single person, you're like, I want to find somebody, I'm going to serve the Lord. And so, you know, it was something more than that. So we got together and we spent time at my house and we thoroughly enjoyed each other. And now Christmas is coming up and I want to encourage you to do something creative, do something that's different. Because there are many people that you might be around that maybe have not had an invite to do something on Christmas Day because they don't have any family. Or maybe they do and they're in a different state from their family and they're stuck here. There might be people around you that just need you to be praying for them, encouraging them, send them a text at least, letting them know, gentlemen, I know it's harder for us. It's hard to text another man like, hey, Merry Christmas, I love you. That's hard, I get it. But at the same time, there are these moments that we as believers get to shine, and this is one of those moments. So there it is. We're going to be in 1 John. We've been going through the book of 1 John, and I don't even know how many months we've been doing this, but we're only on chapter 3. But it is good because this is a glimpse of what a verse-by-verse Bible study could look like for you. If you're not involved in a Bible study, I highly recommend that you get involved in a Bible study. They are not perfect, and that's the best part of it. It is so good when other believers get together and talk about scripture. Pastor Hector already prayed for me, and that is, that's good. We're going to be in chapter 3. We're going to be going through, I got a lot of verses for you tonight, but it's not just in 1 John. So we're going to be in 1 John. I'm going to recap what Pastor Al talked about just a little bit. Well, we're going to start in verse 21 and go all the way to finish out the chapter, closing in verse 24. And it says this, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is the command. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." There's a lot there, and I'm gonna do my best to truly just read to you what I've been able to find when studying. It is not a secret on where you can find correct ways of studying. There is a website called Blue Letter Bible that is just amazing. You can go to the verse that you're looking for. You can click on the verse and then it opens up every word that you can then find it in the Greek. You can find the translation. You can find the meaning, and then you can find all the different places that it has been used. There are Bibles that you can buy that have those things. And this is very heavily where I've been in looking for this, because I wish that I could tell you exactly what this is, but I so badly, when it comes time for me to speak, I ask God, please remove any opinion from me. I don't want to share my opinion, because that's not why any of us are here. Whatever your circumstances are, I don't want to tell you, like, here's what I think God's trying to say, because then that makes me the mediator between you and God. Jesus is the only mediator between God and you. He's the only advocate. It's through Jesus that we get to heaven. It's not by anything else. It's not by Joel Osteen. It's not by any of these TV preachers. But he said, I can have a lot of money and be Christian. Okay, that's great. Let's follow Jesus though. You know, it's not a jab at Joel. If he knows me, I love you too, I think. But it's really just one of those things that our goal is to know Jesus more tonight. Not to leave here and go, you know what Tom said was, that's not the goal. The goal is, okay, God was saying some things through this vessel, and it's something I need to go home and think about and bring into our life. Speaking of which, the podcast, I was on the podcast this last week, and it's good conversation if you want to check it out. We talked about a handful of things regarding Christmas, but we're going to look in verse 21 real quickly. We're going to start breaking this thing down, and I have got, I think it says we got an hour and a half left, so we're going to keep going. And it says, don't laugh. We ain't one of them churches. Don't worry, we'll be out of here in like 10 seconds. But verse 21, beloved, I need us to own this word, beloved, because that's what you are. You're loved. You are. And I know sometimes it's hard because God is seemingly so distant, but we are loved. I try to remind my kids all the time, I'm proud of you. I love you. I do that to my wife too. I can't exclude her. I get so caught up on my kids. But I tell my wife, like, I love you. I really do love you. Even with her bad breath in the morning. Oh, no. I can't say that. My breath is kicking too. My daughter told me the other day. She was like, Dad, your breath stinks. I was like, all right, go to your room. But it says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. What a verse. Now, I do want to break it down. I want to look at the word heart, because could it truly be this beating thing within us, this inner metronome? This is the translation. When it breaks it down, it's of a soul conscious of good or bad deeds. Now, for everybody on the internet, those Bible scholars that stay home and don't influence the church, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, might be a verse in verse 9 that you are reminded of. If you could put that up back room, it says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Leave that verse up, please. So you think of that verse and you're like, oh no, I can't trust my heart. My heart's doomed. Can you please put the next verse up? It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. So if we can put verse 21 back up of 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, if our hearts, when searched by God, do not condemn us, we can now be confident before God. But what does that word condemn break down to? Well, if you could put that up in the back room, to pronounce guilty. Whatever it is that you are trying to do in your life, what are your motives? Because it's so funny, like, oh, God, please help me win the lottery. Cool. God wants you to be successful, financially successful. He's not against you having a real big bank account. But why do you want to win the $1 million? Or however many it is now? Why do you, and that's when you start going, oh, I'll tithe. Cool. That's great. I should use this thumb. Great. But why? See me hide it? I just, okay, I cut the tip of my thumb off. Let's get to talking about Jesus again. So, but why do you want to win $1 million? Why do you want to have the house? Why do you want the job? What is your heart's reason for it? Because God searches that. One of the verses that has just wrecked my life, and I'm not a Chronicles guy, but 2 Chronicles 16:9 says that God searches all throughout the earth to strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. Not when it comes time to tithe, not when it comes time for a Sunday morning, not when it comes time for you to get what it is that you want. And that is just the way that John is starting this portion of how it is that we can get the things that we would so desperately desire. But then what does it mean to come confidently before the Lord? If you could put that word up, please. Confidence, free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, happy courage. I can't say that that's what I thought of when I was younger and I would come before the Lord. I was so scared to step before God. I was so scared to be at the altar. I was so scared to search the scriptures and see what God had to say about what I was currently going through. Because in my mind, I deserve the worst. I don't deserve to have a healthy family. I don't deserve to have a good bank account or a good home. I don't deserve for my entire family to stay alive for as long as physically possible. I don't deserve for good things to happen to me. I don't deserve. In my mind, I can begin to build up this list, which is a lie from the enemy. 100% lie from the enemy. Yeah, we do deserve the worst. But this is why it's so important that we have Jesus. Which is why it's so important that we believe in Jesus. Because there are a lot of different theologies out there that will explain to you that it's about your character and your good character. That's how you see paradise or heaven. And that's not the goal. The goal is to know the Father, because one day we will be in His presence. It's going to be a good day for us. But if your heart right now worries, I do believe that there is a reason why God has you here listening tonight. Verse 22 says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight." Please leave that verse up back room. Ooh, if life was this easy. Right here, I think, is also a really good explanation of why your life is the way that it is. Because I read a verse like that and I'm like, oh, so if I get half the things that I want, what does that mean I'm doing? Does that mean I'm doing half the things that God's commanded? If my life is just, it's okay. When it comes to, now, how much of doing what God has asked have you been doing? You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I don't do a whole lot. I'm not a murderer. And I don't steal. I cuss kinda. I drink kinda. I think bad thoughts about people kinda. If I happened to get in a bar fight, I wouldn't necessarily turn the other cheek. Is this now an explanation of why your life is the way that it is? And I'm not trying, I'm like, hey, I got my stuff too. I really do. Like this, while I'm reading this, I'm like, all right, teaching on this. Cool. Got it. And it's something that I'm reminded of in John chapter 9, verse 31. Same writer, same author. It reminds us of when Jesus, can you put that up there, back room, please? Of when Jesus says, do you have that back room? I think you do. Not a big deal. I'll just read it and you guys can memorize it. It says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners Oh, no. But if someone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. That first part of that verse hurts because that's all of us. But then the same verse still applies because I think it's really interesting. My wife changed her last name when we got married. But when we accept Christ, we still acknowledge ourselves as sinners. We give our lives over to the Savior, and now we fall into the category of saved, but we still label ourselves as sinners. If my wife walked around with her maiden name still, that kind of proves to me that she's a little bit embarrassed, that she didn't really fully take on this whole union that we had established. And so, yes, this verse, if you are someone who has never believed that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, confessed it with your mouth, you've never asked for the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you, yeah, you're a sinner. That's you. But praise the Lord that we have Jesus Christ, that all we have to do is believe in him, and we will be saved. And our category now changes to where if someone is God-fearing and does his will, God listens to them. Now, I think this verse is very important for a couple of reasons. It kind of excludes anybody who doesn't fall under the category of God, which hurts if you're trying to be one of those kinds of believers, where it's just a convenient thing. Because I know a lot of people who slap the label Christian. It's so funny when you start to look at online, you know, you got like your Tinder, you got all your different dating apps and stuff. And some of you Christians out there will write some of the worst things that don't set you apart from being a Christian on a dating app. And so we have those Christians that, you know, God's not going to listen to your prayer. He's not going to listen to the prayer that you pray when you say, God, please help me to hook up with the hottest person at the party. That's the kind of prayer that God doesn't listen to. God, please help me to be successful in this illegal transaction at this company. Help me to be successful in that, Lord. Help me to be strong when I am drunk and the fight is on. Help me to win. Those are the kinds of prayers that this verse is talking about. God doesn't listen to those. God helps us learn from those circumstances. But the kind of prayer that he does listen to from a sinner is, God, help me. God, I need you. God, I believe in you. Because sometimes we'll read a verse like that and we think, dang, God's going to go cold on anybody? No, it's the prayers that people pray that are, God's like, are you kidding me? You want me to help you be successful in hooking up and having a one-night stand with one of my kids? And so God's nature is good. Ask anything. It's a reminder of that moment when Jesus is telling us what the most important commandment is. In verse 23, it says, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 39. Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. John is just reiterating this. He's reminding us. Because Jesus further continues and then says, upon this foundation of love the Lord and love people, all of the law and commandments have been established. So we got 613. We got the Torah. We got the famous 10. But all of these come from these two commandments. To love God. What's that look like? To love God with all that you have. Even if you think to yourself that you don't have a lot. I was doing something tonight before coming out here, just kind of praising God and like worshiping him in my own time. I'm a music person, so songs just wreck me. I love our worship team. They're so great. But I was listening to a different worship song that they weren't doing, so my bad. No, don't clap at that. John, you're great. But I was just back there and I was listening. I just had the music going through my computer. And then it reminded me of a pivotal moment in my life when I was really searching for God, but I still had no Christian friends. So I'm only hanging out with the friends that I knew that I had. But this person invited me to be on a trip with their family, and it fell into Sunday. And I was like, well, that's the Lord's Day. I'm supposed to spend time with the Lord. So before I was even involved in the church, I grabbed my iPod and had a worship song on it. And I just left the house and found a secluded area, put my headphones in, and I just pressed play on the song, and I just worshiped God. And I just raised my hands, because I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that that's what people did if you're holy. And so I just raised my hands, and I just let the song play. And that is I could tell you exactly where I was, because for the first time in my life, I made my relationship with God mine. And it was only mine. I made sure I got away where no one else was around, because if this was going to be my life, I couldn't perform for people. And John's reminding us here, we're supposed to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul. What's that look like for you? I remember seeing a business around town. I can't remember what the actual title of it was, but it was like the logo was like, I think it was like Auto Mall or Auto Shop or something like that. And the guy was like, I dedicate this to the Lord. It's like this big auto shop, Auto Mall, I don't know, size 24 font. But then in size 2 font, it says his. It's capital H. He's like, because it's God's. And I'm like, bro, you can't see that from 50 yards away. You're just slapping that on there so that people think you're Christian. We got to be loud. We don't have to be annoying, but we do have to be loud. It can't be a secret. Like, we can't have people like, oh, dang, you go to church? You're a believer? We were hammered last weekend. That makes so much sense as to why you were crying so much. It can't be one of those, like, you know, it's only at your wedding when you invited, you know, people that they're just like, oh yeah, I want you to pray over the communion that we're going to do. It's got to be evident. We've got to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything that we have. We got to think about people. We got to love our neighbor as ourselves. We got to love the people that are next to us in your row currently right now as yourself. Because the one, verse 24, who keeps these two commandments remains in him. Now, I'm not saying we've got to be like sad, but sometimes we get a little arrogant in our relationship with God. We forget that we need him. Okay, so you're healthy. Cool. What's your job look like? Okay, cool. Your job's good. How's your family? If you don't know that they're good, if you don't know that they're saved, that's a thing to start praying for. If you struggle mentally, if you've got some things that are going on mentally, and I'm not talking about like necessarily mental health, but maybe you worry a lot. Maybe you have a lot of anxiety. Maybe you lust a lot. Maybe you're greedy. Maybe you're negative towards people in your head only, and you think that, hey, I don't say it out loud and that's good enough. No. God wants to clean all of it up. God is at work constantly within us. Because if we work on these things, if we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then we love our neighbor as ourselves, it will then become evident to where we are walking with the Lord everywhere that we go. To where you don't necessarily have to get on your knees and come to the altar and, oh my gosh, I wish that the church doors were open 24/7 so I could meet God. No, that's Old Testament living. The New Testament is that the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, goes with you everywhere that you go. And one of the craziest things in this same song that I referenced earlier, it has a verse that talks about God move on my heart to praise you as the angels praise you 24/7. And when you read in Scripture, the fact that there are professional worshiping creatures and still God would pay attention when we pray. I almost imagine God in this, you know, this orchestra happening, more beautiful music than any of us could ever make. And he goes, no, stop. Shh. I need to listen to this prayer right now. I need to pay attention to what they're saying right now. And even more so, if you think that you're tone deaf when you sing and you worship God, the fact that he would shut up those professional angels to listen to you, the proof of God's love for us, that he would set professionals aside and say, I need to listen to you. And still we would put walls of shame in front of that. But ladies and gentlemen, we are about to celebrate one of the greatest miracles that could ever have happened when the Savior of the world was brought to the earth to save us from that line of thinking. That we would come to a place where we would truly know God and God would be proud that you would know him. My daughter right now, you know, thankfully she's in the stage where whenever she sees me, she's happy to see me. My son, the same. But then one day they will be teenagers and my very existence will embarrass them. Who dropped you off today? Oh, my dad. It's like, oh gosh, when that day comes. But God is proud that you would know him. He longs for it. He wants that. And if you're not reading along with us in the church devotions, I just highly recommend it because this verse was in the devotions this morning. It comes out of Hebrews chapter 7. And I just read it this morning and it just spiritually smacked me in the face. Talking about this amazing priest, talking about how every priest that came after him and before him, depending on what you think of this, it says in verse 23, it says, the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, beholds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then the sins of the people. But because he did once for all, when he offered up himself, for the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. Jesus, as an advocate for you and I, Jesus, who goes before the Father day and night to tell him and remind him of how good you are, That is who our Savior is. And he reiterates when on the earth, hey, I want everybody in. Well, what do we got to do? He says, love God and love people. And as we go into this holiday, I just want to encourage you to praise God in the quiet. I know that we don't have church service on Sunday and the world is going to implode. Or will it be that much more powerful when you and your family praise God and thank Jesus and invite the Holy Spirit before you dive into whatever your Christmas traditions are? Maybe you're somebody that has really elevated Santa and that elf that we put on the shelf. But how great would it be if you started your morning out by reading the scriptures? How great would it be for you to turn on a song, not Mary, Did You Know? But to turn on a worship song and praise God before you get into whatever it is that you get into. Because when the church does that, then the church won't be able to argue with other churches about why they should have had their doors open, or they should have done that, or they should have done this, or they should have done that. But what we'll do is we'll say, fine, we'll worship God whether the doors are open or not. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to close in prayer, because a day is coming and we're going to get busy and it's going to get crazy. But at the end of the day, if we love God and we love the ones that have been appointed around us, we are literally living out the will of God. Now, I know some of you, it might not be easy simply because maybe the lifestyle you've been living has built you up around people that aren't sitting with you, that aren't listening to this. But can I ask you just to ask God, Lord, what can I do around these people? You might have some family members that are gonna, you know, highly encourage you to drink, or they talk in a certain way that isn't glorifying to God, or they're gonna try to get you to do certain things and, oh, come on, man, like, you know, let's do this, let's do that, or let's go here. They'll try to get you into a conversation that's a negative conversation, and you're gonna have to navigate that. I can't give you the wisdom. But the book of James chapter 1 says that if anybody lacks wisdom, they are to ask of God. So ask him, Lord, what do I do? How can I succeed in being a legitimate believer when I'm around these people? Because I want them to know you like I know you. I would love for them to sit in church with me like these people are around me. I would love to go to church with them. I would love for them to receive his salvation. I want to pray for you guys. So if you'd bow your heads, Father, you are so creative. And we're just asking for wisdom on how to celebrate this. Lord, if there are parents in here who need ideas on how to make Sunday morning all about you and your son, I pray that you would give them wisdom. If you have parents who are far from their kids, but you want to use this holiday to bring them closer, give them wisdom on what to do. If you have people who are business owners, show them how to build a culture that is glorifying to you. If you have employees in here, Lord, that are not satisfied with their job, but you have blessed them with it, give them wisdom on how to act. Give them wisdom as to why they are there. God, I lift up every family represented here, and I pray for freedom for them. to worship you without being embarrassed, to love you without being ashamed of it. But God, I also ask that they would do it authentically, that it would be real. We bind the enemy in Jesus' name from speaking lies. We bind the enemy from using any sort of conversation or look across the room this holiday to build up negative emotion. But God, let this be a time where we celebrate truthfully of what you sacrificed through sending Jesus. We thank you in advance for what it is that you want to do here. We thank you, God, that families will be changed. We thank you that lives will be moved and rearranged. Help us as we celebrate communion on Sunday in our homes. We just thank you for what you want to do. And if there's anybody here who would like to make this decision to follow Jesus Christ, to ask for the free gift of the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you and change the way that you are motivated to live your life, or if there's ever anybody online listening to this, whether you're online or here in person, a simple physical act, I just want to ask you to raise your hand. Feel free, raise your hand. And now I would just like to say a prayer. And if everyone here in this place could repeat after me, and for those of you that are listening online, all you have to do is just repeat this. Repeat after me and begin by saying, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I believe he's my Lord and Savior, that he died for my sins, he was buried, that he rose again, and one day he will return. Holy Spirit, live in my body. Change the way that I think and give me the strength that I need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Clap it up for those who made that decision. If you're online and you're home by yourself, clap it up for yourself. We love you guys so much. Have a safe holiday. Don't eat too much. And we'll see you guys next Wednesday. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.